Okay, everyone, 9 o'clock here at Spirit FM. Terry Somerville coming to you, and we're going to look in the Word of God for a few minutes. Mentioned earlier on, we're looking at the new creation realities, new life in Christ. When you become a Christian, you're not on a program of self-improvement or even God-improvement. Did you know that? Maybe you're out there today and you've been a person just struggling, asking God, help me, Lord, help me to improve, help me to... grow up, get better, conquer this sin, whatever. You've been praying prayers like that to get through. I'm just hanging in there. I'm just a poor old sinner saved by grace. You know, that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? That you've been that kind of a person and just struggling along. And that's not what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. God, you know, a lot of Christianity, a lot of Christians think that when they gave their life to Christ, what God has done is merely forgiven their sin, that they've cleared sin out of the way because Jesus died on the cross and paid for our sin. Cleared sin out of the way so you can do your best and hang in there and try harder to try to do it all right and get to heaven. And if you think that, you're missing what God has done for you, and you're still trying to work it out in the power of your natural man, in your flesh. Isn't that the craziest thing in the world? We start out in the Holy Spirit who gives us new life and forgives our sins and brings spiritual deliverance and forgiveness to us from the throne of God. That was all purchased by Christ. And then we turn around and go back into our own self-efforts to try to make ourselves better. And try as you might, you cannot pull yourself up by your bootstraps and get better. You cannot perform enough. You can't do anything that you need to do. Rather, the plan of God for you and me was that we would be new people, new creatures in Christ, that our innermost being would be changed, our spirits. The Bible in the Old Testament says that the real us is the hidden man of the heart. And it also says in another place in the Old Testament that the spirit in a man is the light of the Lord, the lamp of the Lord, rather. Think about that for a minute. You and I have a spirit. The spirit is the breath of life inside of us, the real you down deep inside. We all know that, you know, our minds are where we process and think about things, but your mind is not really you. Your mind is kind of like a chalkboard. You know, you're writing all what you're thinking about on there, and other things can input information there. You read stuff, it puts information there. You ask people questions, it puts information there. You reason it all out. You can get jumbled up in your mind. You can get fused in your mind. You can come up with answers in your mind, but your mind is not you. It's kind of like the workbench of what you do. That's your mind. So what's the real you? It's down way deeper than that. We know our emotions are more like an indicator that comes from the physical world. They're part, they come in from our five senses. Our emotions happen because of what goes on around us. And our emotions are kind of like a connector from the world into our mind, like our five senses do that. Think about it. Our five senses are bringing information from the world around us into our brain, into our mind. If we didn't have the five senses, sight, smell, taste, touch, and hearing, you wouldn't have anything in your brain. You wouldn't have any knowledge. You wouldn't have your mind wouldn't function. God gave us all that ability. But that's still not the real you. A person like Helen Keller, you know, who's deaf and dumb and blind, is still a person down inside of there, because your personhood is the real you down inside. The hidden man of the heart. That's what the Bible calls it. The hidden man of the heart. Now, when you were born again and saved, when you give your life to Christ, there is a spiritual miracle takes place. That hidden man of the heart is made a new creation. You're a new person in Christ. Your body didn't change. Your mind didn't change. Your emotions didn't change. Your five senses didn't change. But the spirit down inside of you changed. And what Paul says in the New Testament is now we are to bring the rest of our life into conformity with Christ. And that's a process of bringing spiritual truth into our life. Walking by the Spirit, he says, and we don't live according to the old fleshy ways. The problem with becoming Christians is now we're trying to live by a bunch of rules that we think are what, you know, here's the New Testament and the Bible, and it says all these things that are true about God. That's why we need it, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The way to get our spirit into the natural is because you line yourself up with what's true. The Bible tells you what's true. But we think instead we're going to live by a bunch of rules out of our mind. And that's not how it works. So here it is. Listen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. It says we have this treasure in earthen vessels, in our weak bodies, so that you can see that the transcendent power is from God and not from us. Paul talking here about this new born-again creation life that's inside of you is a treasure from God that's inside the earthen vessel, which is your body and your soul, your mind, will, and emotions, your five senses, and this is a treasure down inside. And he says, though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. That's what he says. Our spirit is renewed every day. And then in chapter 5, he says that we know when this earthly tent or this physical body we live in is gone, we will have a new home. We'll have a new body from God. So what is all that about? What he's saying is we have a new spirit, a new heart from God. And even though our physical nature around us, our mind, will, and emotions, and body, and soul, and our five senses, and all of that is not saved, one day they will be redeemed as well. And we will have that new creation body, just like we have this new creation heart and love down inside of us. So, what do we do with this? How do you live? Well, one of the things that he says is, and again, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is, it says, whatever we do, it is because the love of Christ controls us. We believe that Christ died for everyone, and that all have died to the old life we used to live. He died so that everyone who receives this new life no longer pleases themselves in what they do. Instead, they live in Christ who died and was raised for them. Wow. This newness of life is from God, he says, who brought us back to himself through what Christ did. And Christ has given us the task of reconciling people to himself. Isn't that amazing? One of the things he says, though, we take a new attitude. We don't evaluate things the way we used to. We don't look at people. We don't look at ourselves the way we used to look at things. Now that we're Christians, he says, we have stopped evaluating others by what the world thinks about them. Once I mistakenly thought of Christ that way, but now I thought of him as merely a human being, but now I think differently about him. What this means is that those who become Christians become new persons, Paul says. They're not the same anymore. The old life is gone. A new life has come. I told you last week about my own experience that after I gave my heart to Christ, I'd been desperately searching at that point. I'd been looking for something. I felt, right from the age 12, this call of God to preach, and I didn't understand why. I thought I'd go into RCMP, I got out of school, I'd got to do this, I thought I'd do that. I had all these different ideas of what I'd do with my life. Start playing rock bands, we did quite well, and all the rest of it, and I kept going back to this idea of being a preacher. I couldn't figure it out. Eventually, I went into the General Motors Institute. They have a private university, and I got a scholarship to go there in Flint, Michigan, and I was so in so much turmoil about what I should do with my life, trying to reconcile this weird sense in me that I should preach that I didn't understand with all the things I wanted to do with my mind. I finally said, okay, God, if you exist, if you're really there, you've got to show me your way. I'll become the preacher. You got to tell me what this is and what I do. I was yielding to God's call, but not having a clue what I was yielding to. Show me, God. I ended up dropping out of General Motors Institute. I remember my parents had a crisis over that because they thought I had given up the most golden opportunity a student could get. I mean, unbelievable. They're going to pay for 5 years of university with a scholarship in engineering, in my case, the industrial administration program. They're going to pay the whole shot. And I walked away from it to become a preacher. Well, shortly after that happened, a girl I knew in high school had come back to London, Ontario, where I lived, and she became a teller at the bank where I went to the bank. And it seemed like every time I went there, I'd queue up into her line. And it was just something about her. It was like there was this presence with her all the time. And I didn't know what it was, but of course now I knew it was Christ. It was the Holy Spirit I was feeling, because I'd been in the occult. I could feel these spiritual things going on. And it was like she had light and I had darkness. Whenever I could come around her, I felt like this aura around her was light. It was white. And the aura around me was black. Well, one thing led to another, and we went out to a Christian coffee house one night, and she told me about Christ, how he died for our sins, how I needed to be saved, how I needed to receive him as Lord, how I needed to repent of my sin, and he would come into my life. I didn't understand what she said. I didn't get it. Theologically, in my mind, I couldn't understand it, because being in the occult at that point, I didn't believe in sin. I didn't believe there was such a thing as sin. I believed that we were all going on and making ourselves better and better and being reincarnated. I didn't believe you could contact God. He was way out there. And yet I was yielding to God and saying, God, where are you? Help. But you know, she was saying it all. I didn't understand any of it. And yet down inside of me, I said, I know this is true. I need it. And I said to her, Ann, I know I need this. What do I do? And she said, let's pray right now. And she led me in this prayer that was simple. Jesus, I believe you died for me on the cross. You took away all my sin so I could be forgiven. Please forgive me for my sin and accept me back and enter into my life by your Spirit, and I'll serve you for the rest of my life. I sincerely prayed that with her. I sincerely yielded my life to Christ. I sincerely repented of my sin, even though I didn't know what it was about. I didn't feel anything, but the people in the coffee house were, hooray, you know, and all this kind of stuff, Christian coffee house. Well, I'll tell you what, the next morning when I woke up, I felt washed white as snow. The spiritual reality of this cleansing, of this forgiveness, of this new life in me, of this spiritual light that was now in my life, I couldn't believe it. I was astonished, I was amazed, and I never looked back. It's real. All of that happened because I didn't listen to what the world said and didn't listen to what my mind said because I couldn't make sense of it. I was listening to what the Spirit was saying and leading and directing me. And over the years, as I followed the Spirit, we've seen many amazing things. Yes, we've walked through dark valleys. You know, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, my rod, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, said David, and it's true. I've walked through dark valleys because we live in the world, and yet he's walked with me. He's comforted me. He's kept me. We listen to the Holy Spirit. In the book of Colossians and Galatians and those places, here is what Paul says. He says, since you've been raised to this new life with Christ, set your sights on the reality of the spiritual realm where Christ sits at God's right hand in honor and power, and let that fill your thoughts. Don't only think about the things here on earth, for Christ died, or for you died when Christ died, and your real life is now hidden with Christ in God. That's Colossians chapter 3. When Christ, who is your real life, appears in this world, you will also share his glory. Christ is coming back. He will be seen by this world, and he's going to bring transformation and judgment because he's going to clean out all the junk and make it whole and new. And so he says, Paul says here, put to death the sinful earthly things that lurk within you and have nothing more to do with them. Where does the sinful things lurking inside a Christian come from? From the world. From our old thoughts and patterns and habits, from the things you do, from the things you expose yourself in. He says, that's not your real life, so get them out of your life. Get them out. That's not your real you anymore. Don't have anything to do with sexual impurity or lust or shameful desires. Don't be greedy. That's idolatry. And God's anger will come on those that do such thing. And you used to do them when you were part of this world, but now it's time to get rid of them. Get rid of anger and rage and malicious slander and dirty language. And don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off the old evil nature and its wicked deeds. And in its place, clothe yourself with a brand new nature that is continually renewed as you learn more and more about Christ. He created this new nature in you. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile or circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, uncivilized, slave man, or free. Christ is all that matters, and he lives in us. So, you must clothe yourself with tenderheartedness and mercy and kindness, humility and gentleness, all these positive things that God gives to us to do. You must make allowance for others' faults and forgive each other because Christ forgave you. And the most important thing you should do is put on love. Love is what binds together his people in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule your heart. And I could go on reading Colossians chapter 3. There is the new life you and I are called to live. So go out and live it.